Chapter 9. One Last Joke. Transactor 7Y1. Down again through the dust, past the skeletons of Imperial Knights still standing upright as flames ate their bones, over tens of thousands of bodies carpeting the earth, up and over the battlements of Pythia Bastion, its walls sundered and overrun, banner poles now flying Horus's colours in the wind. Beyond fallen Pythia, farther still, deeper into the dust. No grand architecture of the Palatine bastions in this place. Here the fighting was in the rubble-strewn wasteland that was once a series of streets around the Principia Collegiate, where ambassadors from conquered worlds came to learn the ways of the Terran Imperium. An academy of great libraries and data archives that housed 6,000 off-world souls, and the 2,000 tutors carefully selected to oversee their re-education. Now, a hollow ruin. Transactor 7Y1 couldn't blink, for even a momentary closing of her eyes represented a potential data loss, an intolerable supposition to her masters and mistresses who adapted her, and most of her kind, to function without eyelids. She stared at the dying world around her through the cracked plastic of her monovisor. The lens kept clicking and rotating, trying to focus, trying to see in a world gone blind. She was Martian-born and Martian-remade. Her cradle was warmed by the heat of the blessed forges, and she was conditioned against the terminal holiness of the weapon she carried. She was Skitari. Transactor 7Y1 stalked through the marble ruins, carrying out the last order she received. Defend Principia. The word still flashed in Gothic across the insides of her eyes. Defend Principia. Defend Principia. In the beginning, all those months ago, before the war had devoured all reason, her orders had been vocal deliverances, coming in the adrenally rewarding tones of her overlords. As time went on and communication degraded, orders filtered down to the Skitari macroclades through sacred encryptions, then standard Binharic cant, then plain operational codes, and, at the very last, through routine text commands. She hadn't heard the holy speech of her overlords in 3 weeks, 5 days, 9 hours, 31 minutes and 9 seconds. 10, 11, 12. Defend Principia flashed at the edge of her vision, and she knew the order was pure. It came with the correct allegiance signifiers when it started flashing up 6 days ago, but she no longer knew how valid the order remained. After all, the Principia Collegiate was rubble. There seemed little worth fighting for, and precious few of her clade kin were still functional enough to defend it. No other orders had been received in that span, not by Transactor 7Y1, not by any of her brothers and sisters wearing sacred red. This brought a sense of unease. She didn't like to process the possibility that her masters and mistresses were dead. Only slightly less uncomfortable was the notion that they had issued an order that lingered on, uncorrected, unupdated. Unless, she reasoned, her overlords were aware of this outcome when they issued the order, having cogitated the inevitabilities. In that case, she'd been assigned here to die fighting, spending the coin of her life to slow the enemy. And in such an instance, no further orders would be forthcoming. It was the likeliest eventuality. It wasn't perfect, it wasn't clear, and the idea of enacting a potentially incorrect order caused her far more discomfort than the thought of dying to a correct one. But, she reasoned, not without precedent, that if she and her clade kin were sent here to sell their lives, that would have been referenced in the initial order. No matter. She had done the best with what she had, and trusted that she hadn't deviated from her place in the Omnisire's plan.
Tea,
Envarik said to her left. Transactor 7Y1 turned to him. He was dying, and she kept experiencing tremors of emotion at this. The enemy was not killing him. Her weapons were. Proximity to her holy arsenal was blackening his skin and making him cough up blood. He knew this. She told him when they first grouped up, explaining as best she was able that the holy aura radiating from her weapons was both invisible and lethal to unconditioned humans.
"You mean radiation?"
Envarik had asked. And Transactor 7Y1 had nodded, because yes, that was the banal name for the divine aura emitted by her weaponry. Envarik had glanced at the carbine in her hands, with its brassy casing and glowing internals, and he'd shrugged.
"I'll catch a bolt in the air before the red gets me. Ain't none of us getting out of Prinkipa. Alive, anyway. What's your name? Do they give you lot names?"
She pointed to the serial code engravings on her chest plate. Envarik made an expression she couldn't decipher. He said,
"That ain't a name."
It was, though. It was her name. She pointed to it again, tapping it that time.
"Fine, Transactor 7Y1. I'm Sergeant Silas Envarik of the 12th Helion Rifles. Looks like we'll all be dying together."
They survived 2 days since then, fighting in the Prinkipa ruins. Now Envarik was visibly decaying.
"Tea,"
he said again. The word turned to gravel by a coughing fit so bad that he had to remove his mask and spit blood onto the ground. Transactor 7Y1 couldn't speak. She couldn't even remember a time when she'd been able to make sounds with a human tongue. Her overlords had removed the ability when they remade her. She could blurt pulses of code from the vocoder in her throat, which was useless right then because Envarik was an unaugmented human incapable of processing Martian code spurts. So she relied on her handheld data slug. It displayed a series of pictographs that roughly adhered to whatever she was trying to convey. When she'd first warned him of her weapon's lethality, she did so by keying in several sigils representing herself, her rifle, a biohazard rune, caution, illness, and pictograph depiction of a dead human. But she needed no such dubious nuance now. Just one symbol blinked on the data slug's tiny screen. ? Envarik struggled to breathe. He sat with his back to the low broken wall they'd been crouched behind for the last 15 minutes. Catching his breath, he cast a goggled glance at her data slug, then looked at her helmet's impenetrable visor, the closest thing she had to a face.
"Any sign of the others?"
Transactor was staring over the top of their barricade, scanning and panning over the low stone wall. She stopped her vigil, clumsily dialing a code into her data slug with thick bionic fingers. It beeped with a single sigil. Alone. Envarik nodded, and Transactor 7Y1 read what she thought was disappointment in what she could see of his expression. Between the rebreather and the goggles and the grime, that wasn't much.
"Well,"
he said with a laboured breath.
"You and me, T. We've got this. The others were just holding us back anyway."
She knew he was trying to be funny. He kept doing this, kept trying to make jokes. Perhaps he was even being funny, but Transactor 7Y1 was profoundly ill-equipped to recognise either failure or success in that regard. What she felt, weak but true, was a sense of kinship and gratitude that he chose to stay. He wasn't of her clade, and she didn't process loneliness or fear in anything resembling human terms, but his presence was a curious comfort, even though it was temporary, even though it was killing him. Envarik closed his eyes for a moment, resting the back of his head against the wall. The ground shook with the aftershock of yet another cataclysm not far from where they hid, but he didn't react. It was taking him longer and longer to recover after each action. Something exploded elsewhere in the ruins. It was answered by the ambushing snaps of radium fire and the returning protests of bolt guns. They weren't entirely alone, after all.
"Yeah, all right, all right,"
Envarik grunted, with plainly false enthusiasm.
"Let's get to it."
They moved again, keeping low, drawing closer to what had once been the external curving wall of an auditorium, emerging above them in the dust. It wasn't long before they found the bodies of three Helians, freshly cut down, blown open by bolts. These they passed with barely a glance. At the shattered archway leading into the auditorium, they paused with their backs to the wall. The whines and grinds of power armour came from within. Transactor 7Y1 was the one to make a visual confirmation. She lifted her radium carbine and panned slowly down the steps, tracking through the dust, looking for signs of... There. Silhouettes in the ash. Too tall to be human. Too inelegant to be Martian. The warriors stalked through the ruins, seemingly without direction, like ants that had lost their trail. Transactor 7Y1, who had never seen an ant, likened the Astartes down there to low-grade slave units cut off from their higher mind. She moved back into cover.
How many?
Envarik asked her. She keyed in a symbol and tossed him the data slug. The symbol for multitude showed on its slit screen. Envarik tossed it back to her with an expression of pain. His gums were bleeding inside the plastic rebreather.
Oh, you're shitting me,
he said. His bizarre axioms were familiar to her now, and she knew he wasn't speaking of biological excretion. Transactor 7Y1 emitted a quiet negative code spurt. She was not, as he phrased it, shitting him.
Piss fire,
he swore, which was a new one, and one she couldn't work out from the context. A urinary tract infection, maybe?
Who'd have our luck, eh?
She had no reply to that. The concept of luck flew in the face of the Omnisire's divine plan, and was therefore a falsehood. She felt an anemic amusement that her companion believed in it, but then his brain was entirely soft and unsupported by mechanical augmentation. Transactor 7Y1 made a fist, a symbol they'd agreed on at the beginning of their companionship. They both tensed, making ready to move. Surprise was on their side. Nothing else was, but they took what they could get. But Envarik had one more thing to say.
T, tell me something before we die, yeah?
She turned to regard him, gazing at his deteriorating form through her monovisor. She said nothing, but he had her attention. The look in his eyes was what she suspected to be amusement. This was it, then. One last joke.
Are you pretty under all that?
It took her a moment to process this. She'd never been asked such a thing. Beneath her armour, she was an irradiated foot soldier of the machine god. Her skin, deep brown at birth, and not unlike Envarik's in that regard, was a starved and sunless grey. She'd been ritually delimbed, her extremities replaced with arms and legs of inexpensive cybernetic purity. Much to her honour, she had attained such a state of grace within her metamorphosis that more of her body was now comprised of holy iron than what remained of her flawed birth flesh. Under her helmet, she was pockmarked with cryo-controlled radiation tumours. She possessed no eyelids, no hair, no teeth and no nose, and what hadn't been surgically removed had rotted off over the course of her years of sacred service. In short, she was Skitari. Transactor 7Y1 keyed in a symbol and tossed him the data slug again. He caught it with weakening fingers and read the symbol there. Affirmative. He gave a bloodstained smile.
Yeah, I thought so.
Though neither of them knew it for certain, they were the last of their combined platoons. When they attacked a few moments later, killing two of the Emperor's children from ambush, it was the final act of resistance in the defence of the Principa Collegiate. Transactor 7Y1 went down first. Her radium carbine smashed from her hands before she was punched from her metal feet by the force of a power maul. They left her for dead in the ranks of elevated seating. And Varric fought for a little longer, desperate to avenge T. He failed, naturally. He was one dying man against seven transhumans, and unfortunately he was still alive when they impaled him on a banner pole, where they watched him twitch and strangle on his own blood. Luckily, however, he was dead before they set the pole over an open fire and roasted him. These noble sons of the Third Legion, once foremost in the Emperor's regard, devoured Envarak's red-soaked flesh for their early morning repast. And so fell the Principia Collegiate. Out went another light.